opportunity to tell you how much your help with our support is appreciated. And we do hope that as much as possible we'll get to spend some time together, and I'll try to make myself available as best as I can. I do have other commitments, but whenever I can, I would like to be able to spend time with you. The topic for this afternoon is whatever is not from faith. We get the topic from Romans chapter 14, the last verse of this chapter. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. The Apostle Paul has been writing to the brethren in Rome concerning certain issues that they were having difficulties with, some that felt that certain activities were acceptable and others that did not. Verse 23, we read, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." Whatever is not from faith is sin. Oftentimes this passage is quoted in light of another passage in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, where we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or as the NIV puts it, which brings the light on that passage a little more, I believe, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard from the word of God. So in other words, if it cannot be found here or supported by this, then it cannot be done in faith. Faith is the knowledge of the things of God as He has revealed them to us. This is the angle, then, that the Apostle Paul uses here in this passage. Now, we will be looking at scriptures that have to do with this main area here in Romans, but the thoughts we want to look at, a couple of words, actually, and thoughts pertaining to them. Two words, the word faith, as we had it in our verse here, whatever is not from faith is sin. So the word faith in two different contexts, as we've looked at one of them, and we'll look at another one in a moment. And then also the word weak. And we will look at that word in three different contexts. Three different ways that the word is used. So here in Romans 14, 23, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." Now, I mentioned Romans 10, 17, and that is actually our other use of this word faith. Now, the question is, as we look at 14, 23, and then we look at 10 and 17, where it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The question is the faith actually the same thing in both of those references? Is it talking about the same thing? Well, actually it is not. In Romans 14 and 23, the idea there, we could substitute another word, a synonym for the thought in that passage, and the word is conscience. The word conscience there. And then in Romans 10, 17, we are talking about the understanding and the acceptance of the gospel, the truth. The idea of completely relying upon God. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. So, if this were a debate here, which it isn't, but if it were, here would be our resolve statement. Although Romans 10:17 and Romans 14:23 both use the same word faith, the writer Paul, the apostle, had different ideas in mind. And I'd like to support that statement in a couple of different ways. First of all, we have to understand that when those words are used, which are translated in our English Bible's faith, we are not safe to look at the verse only. We have to look at the verse in its context. Now, we get after people who are a part of the denominational world, or people that we work with, or friends of ours, that will take a scripture out of context. They want to make it say something that it is not, simply by peeling it off the page, so to speak, and ignoring the context in which it is given. to try to make their point or try to support their idea. But we must not be guilty of that either. We criticize others for being guilty of that, but we must look at things in context. Context is very important when we are examining passages of Scripture. And the other way that I'd like to support this idea is then by analyzing the other word that we'd like to look at this afternoon, and that is our word weak. So for this, we will go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans to start. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." It's speaking of the faith of Abraham when he was given the promise that he and Sarah would bear a son. Speaking of that faith that he had. Kind of a flip side to this one is found in the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 3. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." The question here is, does God in his word ever indicate to us that we should be weak in terms of the understanding and application of his truth? Does he ever give a positive on that, that we should be weak in that sense, lacking understanding of his will? No, he doesn't. In fact, the word in the Greek here, in both of these passages that we've just looked at, is astheneo. We would write it A-S-T-H-E-N-E-O. And it means to be diseased, sick, without strength. So we see very clearly that when it comes to our faith in God, we are not to be weak in that sense. But God understands our lack of ability due to the fact that we are housed in these mortal shells and we exist in this mortal realm right now. He understands that. He knows that we are spiritual beings, but we dwell in a physical realm. So he does provide some compensation for our weakness, our fleshly weakness. In the 8th chapter, where we are here, but looking at the 26th verse of this chapter. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In our prayer life, there are times when we cannot express in words the feelings of our heart. There are times when the words won't come. And this is true whether it is in a public setting or perhaps most especially in a private setting. There are moments, if we have a good, healthy prayer life, if we do draw close to God in this way, that maybe we are overwhelmed with grief, or maybe we are overwhelmed with joy, or we have a concern or a burden on our heart, and we cannot utter those thoughts and those words in words. Because, after all, words are just symbols of what's going on inside. And you can't always find the right symbol to go with the thought. The Holy Spirit works with us because of our inability, because of where we lack. God gives us the Holy Spirit to compensate for our weakness. So indeed, we are given everything that we need in spite of our weaknesses due to the fact that we are mere human beings. Now, the word in Romans 8:26 is a variation on this basic word. It's asthenia, A-S-T-H-E-N-I-A, and it means feebleness, frailness, infirmity, or inability. So that's two of our uses of the word weak. So for the third use of this word, we want to first of all review a little bit where we've been. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, and also chapter 8, verse 3, we had the Greek word astheneo, which means to be diseased, to be sick, to be without strength. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we have asthenia, which means feebleness, frailness, infirmity, inability. And then before we look at our next passage, I have an object for an object lesson. This object that is being passed around now, and I want to give everybody a chance to take a look at it. It is an ethical consideration or principle that inhibits action. That would be a definition for this object that's being circulated here. An ethical consideration or principle that inhibits action. If we were speaking in Latin, the name for this object that is being circulated here would be scrupus, S-C-R-U-P-U-S. Anyone know Latin? The definition of the Latin word scrupus is literally a sharp stone, a sharp stone. Now, it just so happens that this stone is a synthetic stone. It's made out of plastic. If we had a real obsidian arrowhead, people might be cutting their fingers on it as they passed it around. But hopefully it gets the point across. Scrupus, a sharp stone. Or, figuratively, that is to say, the application that we're considering for this discussion, this word could be defined a source of uneasiness. A source of uneasiness. What does the word scrupus make you think of in terms of an English word? Scruple. And that indeed is what we're talking about. That indeed is the context of Paul's usage of this term here in the book of Romans. It is an ethical consideration or principle that inhibits action. So our word scruples or scrupulous, these are coming from this Latin term. The word is asthenema, which is translated a scruple of conscience. A scruple of conscience. Now we looked at Romans 14:23, and the thought continues into the next chapter. Verse 23 is where chapter 14 ends, but we understand that the word itself was not divided up into chapters when it was originally given, and quite often there's a chapter break where the thought continues, and the thought continues into chapter 15. Could I have someone read that passage that has the King James? Someone have the King James on that. Romans 15 and 1.
We then that are strong.
Okay. Did you catch the word? Infirmities is how it is translated in the King James. But in light of the fact that we have gone to lengths here to define this term very carefully and to look at how it is different in its definition and in its contextual use, I am more pleased with the way that the New King James translates this term, because it brings the point home. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Is this weakness that they have an infirmity? Is this weakness that they have a lack of understanding? No. In fact, this scruple that they have is a sign of strength. And this scruple that they have is based upon their knowledge and their study and their careful consideration of things. So sometimes with a passage like this, we can get quite the opposite meaning very easily. unless we are careful to digest it in its proper context and in its proper definition. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. In other words, if you do not have a conviction of conscience on a certain issue, then you, by the guidelines that were given here in this book of Romans and in other places, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about this as well, we are to bear with the scruples that others do have. They do have convictions about it, and it's very real for them. And we are to bear with those convictions. Go back to the 14th chapter and verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. This is one that has a particular conviction of conscience. Receive them, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Verse 2. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Look at the 21st verse. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And the idea of weak there being that he is falling away. And then we come to 15 and 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I hope we get the point. There are things that are that degenerate into doubtful disputations because we do not have something cut and dry in Scripture. They are in the area of conscience. They have to be. But we are not to exert our conscience over someone else's, nor are we to expect them to have us bend to theirs. That's not how it works if we are walking in brotherly love. We should bear with one another's scruples on these matters. We should take it in consideration. It should flavor the character of our speech and of our conduct because we do consider each other in this way. Some thoughts to leave with you this afternoon. I hope that we all see the important need of being there for one another and not being a discouragement to one another. And I wish you all well. I ask your prayers as I journey homeward with the beautiful weather we're having. It is beautiful. I thank you for the time that we've had and look forward to seeing you again. And at this time, we would make the invitation available to anyone. Whatever the needs might be, please let them be known as we stand and as we sing.